Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Jesus came as a Savior to save us from the power of Satan, the destructive power of Satan. Human history manifests over and over again the destructive power of Satan. Jesus came to deliver us from that. He came to save us from that. But he also came to save us from the sin that is that destructive force that works within our own souls, that manifests itself in our own lives.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian begins our Christmas series. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, in a message titled, What Christmas is All About. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I thought it would be appropriate for us to look at the text that we just read, to just sort of walk through it once again and remind ourselves of some of the things that are here. You know, it's hard to believe that it was 50 years ago that a Charlie Brown Christmas made its debut on CBS. Much to the consternation of the CBS executives, Charles Schulz, the writer of course, the Peanuts comic strip, Charles Schulz insisted that the film would clarify the true meaning of Christmas over against the commercialization and secularization of the day. And how many of you have seen A Charlie Brown Christmas? All right, so you know what I'm talking about. And you know that he succeeded in communicating that message when Linus recited Luke's account, the account that we just read. Linus recited that, and then turns to Charlie Brown, who was all perplexed about you know, why he wasn't happy, and, you know, what was the meaning of Christmas really all about? So Linus recites Luke 2, and then he just looks at Charlie Brown and he says, "That's what Christmas is about." And that is what Christmas is about. And of course, 50 years down the road, we still have the commercialization, we still have the secularization. For many people, even in our own culture today, they don't really make the connection between what we are doing here today, what we are going to be doing this week, and the birth of Jesus. But of course, that's what Christmas is. And so, like I said, I think it would be good to just take a closer look at the passage and for ourselves just be reminded once again of what Christmas is really all about. So we begin with the pronouncement of the angel to the shepherds. And what was it? Behold, or first of all, the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And it's to this group of shepherds. We don't know how many there were, but they were in a field there outside of the city of Bethlehem. And the angel comes. He says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." That's the first thing that we need to just stop and think about. Christmas, the message of Christmas, is the greatest message ever. I mean, certainly to date, when the angel made this pronouncement on this day, this was the greatest message that the world has ever heard. And I would say it still is, except there's a little more to it than was realized initially there on that particular day, because we know that the baby that was born would grow up and ultimately would offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. And in doing so, he would provide forgiveness of our sins, and he would destroy death and rise from the dead. But it all was put in motion on this particular occasion. And so the angel says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Do we realize that? That's what the gospel is. Of course, the word gospel means good news. But these are good tidings of great joy. This is great news. And regardless of the bad news that we're almost constantly subjected to, none of that eclipses this good news. None of that should overshadow this good news, because this good news that we're talking about here is the good news that is going to dominate the scene in the future. So, since it's going to dominate the whole universe in the future, it should dominate our hearts today, regardless of what might be going on around us. You know, it's easy for us, even as Christians who believe in these things, isn't it easy for us to just get discouraged ourselves, to get down, to become depressed? I mean, we look at the world, we look sometimes at our own personal circumstances, and many times we, the people of all people who should know what it is to be joyful, many times we're not joyful. But we can be, and we should be, because we are the recipients of these good tidings of great joy. And so that's what this message is. It's a message of great joy. The hearts of men and women all around the world, God's intention through this message is that our hearts would be filled with joy. So what are the good tidings of great joy? Well, they are that there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the great news right there. There has been born to us a Savior. Now, when you think of the idea of a Savior, of course, you think of somebody who's in trouble. You think of somebody who needs to be rescued. You think of a Savior as a deliverer. And so that is indeed the case. Jesus has been sent by God into the world to save us from well, you think of the one of the Christmas hymns, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. And truly, that is the case. Jesus came as a Savior to save us from the power of Satan, the destructive power of Satan. Human history manifests over and over again the destructive power of Satan. Jesus came to deliver us from that. He came to save us from that. But he also came to save us from the sin that is that destructive force that works within our own souls, that manifests itself in our own lives. And it's such a wonderful thing to have a Savior. It's such a wonderful thing to have been delivered from these things. You know, I think back at my own life or the lives of the, so many people I know, and remembering my own experiences in some cases, or looking at somebody or talking to somebody and remembering their past and thinking about the destructiveness that might have at one time been very much a part of their lives. Maybe it was through addictions, or maybe it was through hatred, or maybe it was through involvement in crime, things like that. And you see people who have been saved from that. They've been delivered from that. That's no longer the story of their lives. And where maybe in time past, previous Christmases were just the worst time of the year, because that's when everybody got together and all the sinners collectively engaged in their selfishness and everything else. And it just was a miserable time. I think back as a kid and remember times where growing up in a family where there was alcoholism and things like that, you know, some of our family gatherings were less than enjoyable. But then to experience the salvation that comes through the Savior, and to have all of that changed, and to have all the joy and all the love now, and the family gatherings are so wonderful, and they're a joyous occasion, and they're times to be looked forward to, and they're times to be looked back on with great fondness. You see, that's what happens when you get saved. And Jesus came. He was sent by God into the world as our Savior. He came to deliver us from those things that were destroying us. He's the Savior who is Christ. Now, Christ is the title. That's his title. The Savior is his task. Title or Christ is his title, or it's his office, if you will. And the office of the Christ is that of, this is God's anointed person to bring about righteousness and peace in the world. See, all the way back to the very beginning of time, when sin first entered into the world and all of this destructiveness began to take place, God made a promise that he would send a deliverer. And the word that was used in the Hebrew was the word Mashiach, which we bring into English as Messiah. And the word means an anointed one. And so all throughout the biblical history, the Old Testament, there was this expectation of this anointed one that would come, this Messiah. And there were various places in the history of the people of Israel where God would speak through the prophets and he would give the promises of the Messiah's coming. One of the ones that's most familiar to many of us is the one that's found in the ninth chapter and the sixth verse of the prophecy of Isaiah. And you remember that one there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. You see, that's the messianic part of it. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the Messiah, the Christ, he's going to come and he's going to rule the nations in righteousness. Oh, we long for that. Generation after generation has longed for some righteous reign. You know, it seems like as misguided as most politicians have been historically, they all seem to be aiming at the same thing, but everybody just has a different philosophy about how you're going to get there. But it's an ideal world, a perfect world, a world of peace, and a world where there's equity and there's righteousness. And of course, the problem is man's understanding of those things is completely faulted, so it never works out. But this is the task of the Messiah. This is what he's going to do. The government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So the angel is telling these shepherds that this is what's happened today. There has been born to you this day in the city of David, the Savior, who is the Christ, the Messiah, has come. And then he said, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord. The Greek word here for Lord is the word that in the Old Testament was used to translate the name of God. In the Old Testament, the name of God is probably most accurately Yahweh. So in many places in the Old Testament, of course, the name Yahweh appears. Now, when the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, was translated into Greek, when they came to the name Yahweh, they would translate Yahweh with the Greek word kurios, which is the word here. For there is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord, or the kurios. So for those shepherds and everybody at that time, when they heard that the Savior was Christ the Lord, what they would understand is that the Savior, the Messiah, is Yahweh. He is God, the God of Israel, the God of all nations, the God of the universe. And so that was indeed the case. Jesus, his name means Yahweh is Savior. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. That's why the angels, we're told the angels spoke very specifically to Joseph that the child's name was to be Jesus, or Yeshua, the Hebrew pronunciation, because he is going to save his people from their sin. And so this is the message. These are the good tidings of great joy. We have a Savior. He's the Messiah. He's actually the Lord. But notice what the angel said. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. See, the message of Christmas is a universal message. It's for all people. It's not just for a select group of people somewhere. It's not just for a particular ethnic group, or it's not just for people located in a certain geographical region of the world. You know, we live in a climate today where people think of Christmas and Christianity and all that. Well, you know, they sort of say, well, you know, that's all Western. You know, that's sort of a Western religion, and then you've got your Eastern religions, and they don't seem to realize that Christianity did not originate in the West. But be that as it may, it is a universal message. It's to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For the message is for everyone. It's a universal message. Now, think with me for a moment, though. Let's go back to the scene itself. You have an angel who is bringing this message, and you have, in some ways, a very unexpected audience, or an audience that you wouldn't have anticipated. So thinking if we could just put ourselves in a place where you think, okay, so this is the greatest news ever. It's going to come as a pronouncement into the world. Okay, we're going to send the angel. He's going to proclaim the good tidings of great joy, tell about the birth of the Messiah who is the Savior and the Lord. Okay, where do we send him? Well, think of where he wasn't sent. He wasn't sent to the capital cities of the world. He wasn't sent to the palaces. He wasn't sent to the universities. He wasn't sent to the power centers of the world. No, he was sent to a field outside of a small village, the village of Bethlehem. And then think of, if we were doing all of this, think of who we would have sent the messenger to and who the messenger did not come to. The angel didn't visit the rulers of the world. He didn't visit Caesar. He didn't visit any of those governors that ruled under Caesar. He didn't even visit Jerusalem and the leadership in Jerusalem. He didn't visit the rulers. He didn't visit the dignitaries of the world. He didn't visit the scholars. He didn't visit the celebrities. That's not who the angel was sent to. Now, that's not because God doesn't have love and concern for those people. He does. He certainly does. He loves everyone. But God has made it clear all the way through from one end of Scripture to the other that he is the God who is for the underdog. That's just who he is. He's the God who looks out for those that are generally overlooked. And so we see that in the place the angel went. The angel went to a village, not a metropolis. The angel went to shepherds, not to rulers. And the shepherds were just an example of the common people. The shepherds were the most common of people. And that's who the angel was sent to. And the angel said to them, he said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angel said to them, these shepherds, these lowly, common, ordinary, everyday people, he said, "The Savior is born to you." You see, that's the message of the gospel. Like I said earlier, it's a universal message to all people. But all people without prejudice, all people without preference.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource. It's a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin.
So, Brian, I'm holding in my hands Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin. This is a book you've been trying to get me to read, and I'm going to.
Yes.
But tell me why I should read it again.
You have got to read this book. This, in my opinion, is the 2019 book of the year. This book is tremendous. Rebecca is brilliant, and she kind of takes on all of the current questions and opposing views that come up against those who hold the Christian faith. And the title of the book, you know, she's confronting Christianity. People are saying, well, Christians believe this and Christians did that. And she's just taking 12 of the current hardest questions that Christians are facing. Questions like, doesn't religion cause violence? Or how can you take the Bible literally? Doesn't Christianity denigrate women? Isn't Christianity homophobic? And she does a superb job in addressing these questions. And I think anybody today who's seriously thinking about what's going on in the culture and engaged in the culture, out in the workplace or wherever, this is a book you want to read because it's going to tremendously help you to have a good response when people bring these questions up, because many are confronting Christianity, and this book will help you to know how to answer those who are confronting Christianity. Confronting Christianity, Rebecca McLaughlin.
Again, this month's resource is a book titled Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin. You can order the book Confronting Christianity by going to our website, brianbrodersen.uk. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book Confronting Christianity by Rebecca McLaughlin to prepare you to answer some of culture's most difficult questions regarding Christianity. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we continue our Christmas series and Pastor Brian's message titled, What Christmas is All About. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.